Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 19th of August. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Good afternoon, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm just pouring out my Barocca.
How are you?
Funny thing happened to me.
On the way to the forum? Ooh, missus.
Ooh, matron. Yeah. Well, you know, I went out with the fabulous Neil Haffenden last Friday.
I know you did. Yes.
It was a business lunch.
Yeah. I saw the glasses and the empty bottles. Yeah.
Which was going to start at 3.
Yeah.
And then 4, and then I eventually decided I ought to get the bus because it was.
Is this when you staggered out of the pub eventually?
Well, no, it started at 4 eventually. In fact, I didn't meet until 5 because I decided I ought to get the bus.
Right.
But I was coming from Margate, as you do.
Yeah, yeah.
To meet him in Canterbury at a lovely pub called the Shakespeare.
I knew there was a pub somewhere.
The Shakespeare pub.
Yep.
And because of time, because I kept texting him saying, look, I'm going to be a bit delayed. I'm going to get the bus, I said. So he said, fine.
You've told me this 5 times. You got a bus. Well done.
Yeah. But... to save time, rather than park at my house, I parked near the bus stop, Paul Andrews, which I thought was innovative.
Yeah.
Saving the time. And then the next morning, after a couple of strong coffees and some egg and bacon, I trundled round to this said road, which I'd never been to before, to find my car. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, guess what?
You had a ticket.
No, it disappeared, completely gone.
Somebody nicked your car.
So I panicked. I panicked, Paul Andrews. I put my hand on my chest. I started to hyperventilate and started to panic. And then I talked to this little lady that was going along with her shopping basket. And I said, my car's gone missing. And I said, hang on a minute. This isn't a cul-de-sac, is it? She said, yes, it's a cul-de-sac. So I walked all the way around and I'd actually parked at the other bit of Seafield Road, you know, because it's both sides. It's named Seafield Road. So, but that, you know, who'd have thought? Who'd have thought I parked in a cul-de-sac? Amusing.
Not really, no.
Well,
no.
I was shocked.
Well, I mean, I don't really know what to say to that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, something what? Else that's interesting me. As the MD of Jobs in Kent, as you are, Paul Andrews, and you do the job so well, I saw a lovely sign on the way in. You know when you trundle in, you see all the signs for fields and festivals and everything going on, Brogdale and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a sign for a job that I think you should have on your Jobs in Kent. It was for a stable erection job.
Right, anyway.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, great. Good.
Reckon you could find one?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah? Are you on a sticky wicket here?
Yeah.
You've gone quiet.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I always worry about him listening when he goes quiet.
Anyway, enough of that old nonsense. I don't know what all that waffle was about.
What does that mean? Does it mean someone that's very good and they don't sort of fly off the rails when they're erecting their stable?
Yeah, yeah.
Or does it mean they're stable of the mind?
Or does it mean someone that can erect homes for horses? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, a stable erection person.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we get the point.
I thought of you, and as it's your birthday on Friday.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday. What are you, Leo?
I am a Pyrex.
You're a Pyrex.
Anyway, we don't want to listen to her anymore because she's annoying. We want to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. And you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb on the Twitter. We've had a few tweets in already.
We've had lots.
I'm going to read a couple of them and then we're going to go to some emails. We've had a tweet from Alex Waterton, who says, tune in, tweet in today. I thought he was going to say drop out at one stage there.
Tune in, drop out, yeah.
Alex, thank you for that. We've also had Integrated Technologies, who say, hello, everybody, have a technological Tuesday.
Do they say it like that?
They do indeed. And they're listening to the Business Bunker Show, as indeed are the Business Community Breakfast guys over there in Medway. So welcome to you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Business Bunker Show. And I think we'll get Jules to read an email now.
Okay. We have the K 10th anniversary and lunch. Is that K K-A-Y-E.
It certainly is.
Okay. The K anniversary in London.
That's the Kent Association of Young Entrepreneurs.
Oh, I'm so glad you filled me in on that. It's the relaunch, Paul Andrews, and it's their 10th anniversary. And you will have the opportunity to hear the latest business news in Kent from Paul Andrews.
Never heard of him.
I try not to know who he is. Kent-based businessman and former Entrepreneur of the Year and presenter of the radio show The Business Bunker, which comes on after the Superior show Scoff and Quaff, which is 11 a.m. on Channel Radio. Paul is a business angel investor helping local startups, and is... Did you write this, or was it...
No,
your, was it
I your, haven't even seen it.
Was it Betty? And it's actively, that's his mum listener, actively involved in community activities, especially higher ed and local regeneration. We are also delighted to be joined by Ben Bartlett, who's the 2014 Kiba Award winner.
We know Ben.
We do.
He made you eat crickets.
Well.
And mealworms.
Yeah. What
and
were the
scorpions.
Worms? What were the worms?
Mealworms.
Were they?
Yeah.
Mealworms?
Yeah.
Mealworms?
No, mealworms.
Miele is a washing machine.
Yeah.
M-I-E-L-E.
I'm sure it is.
That's
no,
the German version.
M-E-E-L-A, Miele worms.
Are they? I think they're mealworms. I think you're doing the German pronunciation for washing machine makes. Ben Bartlett is the 2014 Kiba winner of the Startup Business of the Year. Being interviewed on stage, you will also have the chance to ask Ben questions about his success. He's so young, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And at K-A-Y-E, do we say K-A-Y-E or K?
Say what you like.
That's not what you normally say. We aim to put on 3 tailored events for our members each year. And the events are targeted at the young entrepreneurs up to an age of 30. Well, Mark's already looking at his watch. That's a bit worrying. That's our guess. So we're only 5 minutes in, Mark.
Yeah, well, you are boring, Jules. I don't blame you.
Our membership is only £25 a year. That's amazing, actually, which includes the following. Attendance at 3K events per year, free access to 2 IOD, Institute of Directors events, under £20 members rate, and access to Dragon's Den committee once a year to health check your business, up-to-date info on the K website, and receive the monthly e-newsletter. So that's all happening. You will hear the fabulous Paul Andrews. Does it actually say the date on there, Paul? Don't think it does. Anyway, it's the 10th anniversary, and we will put details on the Kent Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk website after the show.
Sure.
Who writes these press releases?
I don't know. They're a PR agency, probably. Mm. We've had a tweet from Peter Wood.
Have we?
He said, "Hi, Van Miller Webb. Sorry, I couldn't resist this plug. If you want a stable erection, call Hawkeye. We use a 24-metre mast for aerial imagery."
See, I knew a stable erection existed.
There you go, then.
Who was that, Hawkeye?
Yeah, Pete Wood. Hawkeye.
Pete Wood what?
Pete Wood. Pete would provide you with a stable erection.
Would
he just told you. Yeah.
Does he work with Edward Woodward?
Edward Woodward with Peter Wood. Yeah, he would indeed. Yeah. Talking of which...
Talking of Edward Woodward?
No.
As you would.
Anyway.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
I was.
Amusing.
Yeah. Dear Paul, I'm the Managing Director of M&A Furnishings. Our company offers a wide range of products from footstool to four-seater sofa. I'd like to tell you and your listeners that we have a 25% off recommended retail price, and we also have a deal of the month where we have a set of sofas and a bed for a bargain, £999.
A set of sofas and a bed.
And that's Peter Mills, Managing Director of M&A Furnishings, and you can find out all about them by going to their website, which is www.m&afurnishings, that's all one word, m&afurnishings.co.uk.
Do we know where they're based?
No.
Nowhere near, or maybe they'll tweet us and let us know.
Possibly, but I mean, if you go to their website to buy something, presumably they'll deliver it, so it doesn't really matter.
Well,
I know they're somewhere in Kent, but I don't know where.
Kentish.
Stephen Jenner has also tweeted in.
Hello,
from the Gillingham Dramatic Society. Looking forward to the Business Bunker show today with Jules and Paul. And we've also had a tweet from Crimson Print, who are a new listener. It's Crimson Print on the Twitter, spelt K-R-Y-M-S-O-N, K-R-Y-M-S-O-N, Crimson Print, who say they're listening in for the first time. So welcome, thank you.
And you know who we've got? We've got our lovely nurse, Liz J, from New Jersey.
From New Jersey.
And she, do you know, she sets her alarm to listen to Scoff and Quaff.
Did she move from Brooklyn to New Jersey?
Was that a Brooklyn accent?
I think so.
Oh. Well, anyway, Brooklyn. Well, what's the difference? Go on, you do it.
What's Brooklyn. The difference between what?
Brooklyn and New Jersey accent.
No, I don't do accents. I'm just telling you, you made Jill sound like she came from Brooklyn, and she doesn't come from Brooklyn. She comes from the other side of the Holland Tunnel in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Do they speak like sort of Billy Joel?
No.
Type. Uptown girl. Anyway, she sets her alarm at 6 a.m. in New Jersey time to listen to Scoff and Quaff and Who Can Blame Her. But then she stays up to listen to this show.
She does indeed.
And she says...
That's because she's a superior kind of person.
She is. And she says... I wonder if she's a real nurse. She says, Jules Serkin, Vanilla Webb, love your banter. Now, she's American and she gets it.
See? That's worrying, isn't it?
It is amazing. And she says, does Peter wear spandex? Now, who's Peter? I'm completely lost.
He would be the guy that just tweeted in, presumably.
Okay. Now I'm with her, you see. Right. I wasn't really listening to your...
No, you don't listen to me ever, do you?
I try not to.
I know.
J.K. Burrows, Business Bunker, O'Clock, with Vanilla Webb. Click to listen. Hello, AJ. They're new, aren't they? Jigsaw Cloud.
Yep, new listener.
And the lovely Lisa Settles crew, Telcare. They're listening in.
Okay, because Lisa's not there, is she? Lisa's...
She's swanned off again.
She's swanned off somewhere, I think.
Well, she was down in... Was it Salcombe or Solcombe?
Solcombe, she was. But I think she's somewhere in the US at the moment. It's really funny. Every time I open my Facebook page in the last week, the very first thing that came up was a picture of a cake.
Oh, yeah.
Provided by Lisa.
Yeah. She was having a really nice cake yesterday. That looked very tasty, but it was gone. Mm. And Janice Watton is listening.
Hello, Janice, the tall one.
Now, she must be at her new job.
She must indeed.
So congratulations.
Yeah, how's it going, Janice? Maybe you'll tweet us in and let us know how your new job's going.
She's at the NAG, isn't she?
The New Appointments Group, yeah.
To you?
Yep.
Right, there's a little email here, which I'm going to read out, Paul Andrews.
Just a little email? A
little email.
For you little possums.
a little old email.
A little old email here?
I was actually...
From Dame Jules?
No, I was actually...
Go for it.
I was trying to be Dolly Parton.
Oh, Dolly Parton!
Yeah. A little old email,
I think you're about 27,000 miles out with that, you know?
A little old me.
Yeah.
Or Deputy Dog or someone. Come and join us at a mini Digi Kent... All these names. Event every month. I feel suddenly very old when I read about Digi Kent, do you? Our new monthly meeting, I love it when he answers back, are your chance to keep the discussion going between conferences and learn new techniques from invited speakers, network with your online contacts face-to-face and share Digi marketing tips. And the next monthly meetup will take place on Thursday the 28th of August. So that's not this Thursday, the one after, I believe. 6 p.m. to 7:30 at the fabulous Fruitworks venue in Canterbury. There'll be an open forum, which is a chance to break the ice and discuss a key aspect of digital marketing. And there's also a digital clinic, so you can get your website reviewed or your specific question answered by the experts and come away with a master plan for improvement. Paul Stephen, who is the CEO of Sagittarius Marketing, Digital Transformation, and he's going to talk about how digital is not just essential for every business, but may even be what their business will become. And Paul will explain how every organisation should now consider having digital at the heart of their business. There'll also be Katie King from Zudica's Consulting, talking about avoiding extinction, there's one for you, Paul, and evolving into a social business. And there will be informal networking as well. It's £12 and VAT per meeting. Or you can save 25% on 6 meetings at £54 plus VAT. To go to find out more details, www.digitalinkent.co.uk monthly meetups. Great idea.
Fantastic.
I might go. Is there free beer there still?
No, I think they are providing food.
Oh.
No, come back, Jules.
They always have a fruit bowl out there, don't they?
We do.
A bowl of fruit.
We do provide fruit in Fruitworks, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. Pete Wood has responded, and no, he doesn't wear spandex, apparently.
Oh, poor nurse, Liz. Yeah.
He has gone on to explain about his erections, but I really don't want to go down that route.
It's a family show.
To be honest, we've had a tweet also from the lovely Debbie at Revivals in Canterbury, which is a place you really, really must visit. Revivals is a vintage clothing shop.
Is that where you get your tweed from?
It is indeed. In St. Peter Street in Canterbury, it's It's a fabulous place. The stuff that Debbie has in there is nobody's business. You can spend an hour just walking around looking at the racks, at the kind of stuff she's got in there. So do pay a visit.
Well, she, I wrote a column about, which you may have seen, Paul Andrews.
As if I could avoid it. You email me copies of your column in every email address I own, which is about 20.
I know, just to
every
make
week,
sure.
Just to make sure I read them.
To make sure you're on the cusp.
Yeah.
She was very interested because I was talking about, you know, the car park closures in Canterbury that are happening and the council, which are closing car parks and building houses on them, even though they've closed the A&E. And, of course, the little independent shops, little old independent shops that I love are going. Mm-hmm. So when I go there now and have to spend £7 to park for maybe 2 and a bit hours, I'm finding that actually there aren't many shops to look around anyway. There's only the chains, which I could see at Blue Water, or I could see at Westwood Cross and have free parking. I can tell you're not really listening.
Yeah, I am. You could park at Westwood Cross and have free parking. I heard all of that.
It's just that
I read your column. It's all in your column because I read it and you wrote it and you sent it to me and I read it.
And who's on the Twitter, Paul Andrews?
Well, there's quite a few, and I saw one from the Fat Carrot.
She's not at all fat, you know.
No, Jane's really lovely.
Or orange.
She's not carroty or fat, but she's known as the Fat Carrot. And she was telling us on the Twitter earlier, and I can't find it now, about an event she's running.
Yes, she's also wishing you a very happy birthday.
Yeah, her birthday's soon too.
Yeah, are you both on the cusp? But she's saying Love Cheese Night. It's Saturday the 20th of
September.
That's
what I was looking for. Well done.
Yeah, luckily I'm on the ball, listener. Saturday the 20th of September at Taste Buds in Offham. Am I saying Offham correctly?
Offham, yeah.
There are four courses. It's just £28 with 20% that goes to spade work. And you can email thefatcarrot@live.co.uk. Now, so that's Saturday the 20th of September at Taste Buds in Offham. And it's a Love Cheese Night. Oh, that sounds lovely. And there'll be Kentish cheeses, no doubt.
If that's the Fat Carrot that are come to Western Market, then I love their cheddar and tomato quiche.
Do you?
I'm a fan of quiche. I know, Nina. Yeah. But well, they do a fine quiche.
And they said real men don't eat quiche.
Well, I'm...
Exactly.
See, we brought them down to our level already, Jules. No worries.
That's the lovely Nina.
Yeah.
The lovely Nina, listener.
Yes, that will be that Fat Carrot, though. She makes...
Jane Apps.
She makes vegetarian food, and very nice it is, too.
She's also... she's a great cook, as you say, and but she's also a really lovely person. She comes on Scoff and Quaff, Superior Show, 11 a.m. But she's just a darling. A darling, and she works very hard.
Well, I'll keep an eye on the schedules for when she's next on.
She made me, I can't remember if it was a lasagna or something gorgeous and exotic once, and it was delicious, really delicious.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage, Paul Andrews.
We're going to a bit of tunage.
Is it Brown Eyed Girl?
Wow, what a surprise.
Is it a bit of Van?
It is a bit of Van Morrison.
You know what?
What?
It's Irish Man's foreplay.
Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping, and you, a brown eyed girl, and you. And whatever happened, the Tuesday and so slow, gone down the old man with a transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall, slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, a brown-eyed girl. Do you remember when we used to sing sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la
la 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 da.
la-dee-da. So hard to find my way. Now that I'm all on my own, I saw you just the other day. My, you have grown. Cast my memory back there a lot. Sometimes I'm overcome thinking about making love in the green grass behind the stadium with you, my brown eyed girl. And you, my brown eyed girl, do you remember when we used to sing? Sha la 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 la.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 19th of August. What?
I've just seen something amusing. Somebody's tweeted in, it's the lovely Stuart Safari, which is at Sack Collection. He says, I'm gearing up for the Business Bunker Show at 1 p.m. Paul A. and Jules Serkin are the Nick and Margaret of local business. A must listen.
Thanks, Steve.
Who's Nick and Margaret?
Oh, the two that used to work with Alan Sugar.
Oh, see, that's much better than us being called Pinky and Perky.
Yeah, yeah.
We've gone up.
Yeah, gone up in the world.
Thank you.
Because Nick now presents Countdown or something, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah, I think so. I don't watch a lot of telly, but
no,
I think
I
so.
No, I don't. I watch films and things. Mm. But it's better than Pinky and Perky, isn't it?
Yeah, which is what we're normally called.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you read that one.
While he's looking, listener, yeah. There's an after-hours...
Oh, Legend Studios tweeted.
What have they said?
Great show, and great to meet you the other day. Must come in for a chat soon. Yeah, absolutely.
Who's Legend Studios?
There's some guys... I don't know if you remember. I went to...
I don't really remember
I
much.
Went to an event in Tenterton, which was the launch of a jewellery gallery.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I think it's Oliver. I think his name's Oliver.
Brought
sorry.
Me an emerald back.
He was the official photographer there, and as I walked in, he took a photograph
of
me.
Oh, that squinching one of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. And I just kind of walked into the place, and he went, frick! And it's one of the best photographs I've ever had of me, and it's just really ridiculous. So, excellent photographer.
Yeah,
well, he can even make me look decent.
Is he Nikon or Canon, or do you know?
I didn't inquire about his equipment.
Well, I'd like to know. What his equipment's like.
Well, we're going to get him on the show and he can tell us all about his equipment.
Yeah.
You can cross-examine him over there in the guest seats about his equipment an hour or so.
I will. I might go out with him with my flash.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a Kent and Victor Chamber After Hours Club, listener. It's 6 to 7.30. There's no need to book. Where can you find your new next clients, they ask? Tuesday the 19th of August. Is that today? That is. That's this evening at the Abbots Barton Hotel in Canterbury. And these are at 6 p.m, so you've got time. And the next one after that will be at the Russell Hotel in Maidstone, and that's Tuesday the 26th of August. And you've also got Thursday the 28th of August at the Best Western Coniston Hotel and Restaurant. Which reminds me, it's the Whitstable Tweet Up this Thursday, 10 a.m. at the Hotel Continental, where we will all be frolicking on the seafront there. It's free business networking, and the website is kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Phil Thorne as well, who says, oh no, don't tell me Vanilla Webb's going to be auditioning to host Countdown 2. No, I'm not, Phil. Trust me on this.
No.
Do you know what we're going to do now?
Interview one of our guests.
We're going to introduce our first guest for today.
It's
an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Mark Ballack.
Hey, it's great to be here. And I have to say, even though this programme is very entertaining when I listen to it back in the office, it is even more entertaining sitting here and watching you guys doing it. You're a great double act, and it's been very, very enjoyable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I like him.
He can come on again.
He can. I like him.
Look, yeah. Let's have him on next week.
Absolutely. Mm. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about you. You're I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're a business coach, you're a business mentor, you're a business author, and you've done lots of things. And before the show, we were talking about some of your journey that brought you to end up living on the Kent-Sussex borders, and you've been around a bit.
Yeah, I guess I have. I think I've probably managed or run more businesses in different sectors than most people I've met. And so I kind of naturally segued into this about 13 years ago. Right. And what I do is I help people become more successful. I'm a business advisor and blogger. My blog, markballot.com. And to give you a bit of an idea of how I approach things, really, my blog sets out every week just to look at a business in the news and to compare that with what I think is best practice, really. So what, because in my opinion, all successful businesses do exactly the same thing, but it's not really very clear to a lot of people what that is. So I help translate that for people by showing them businesses in the news. And I tend to do that. I carry out a lot of business reviews. And at the heart of my business review process is to say, hey, guys, you know, you're here. This is my model of what good business practice is and what the best businesses do. What's the gap? And realistically for you, what's the next step? And how can we do that? Can we do that together? And that tends to give people more confidence, enables them to move on and to evolve.
Okay, cool. I'm fascinated by what you do with your blog. So whoever happens to be in the news, I don't know, who's in the news at the moment, I don't know.
Well, I wrote about, the last couple I can remember, I wrote about the Church of England, actually. Yeah. Saving the Church of England, I called it. And before that, it was a lovely company called Naked Wines. Have you heard of Naked Wines?
Oh, yes. I've drunk many.
She's drunk wine naked is what she actually means.
Yeah. Somebody once said, I listened to a film director once say, hey, there are no new stories. What you have to do to make an interesting film is you have to reinvent the genre. All right. And to a large extent, you can do that with business as well. And Naked Wines is kind of an example of that, because what they do is they sell wine. You know, they're a wine retailer. But they do it online, by and large. And what they've done is they've taken control over the whole, what people call the supply chain. So they do deals with small producers. They fund them up front. And then they persuade the punter to actually give them money up front as well by positioning the customer as an investor. So they call their customers naked angels. Wow. It's a much longer story, but it's very clever. What they've done is kind of reinvented the retail genre. They're playing to people's ego to some extent in being something other than a customer. They're getting higher margins because of the fact actually they control the whole supply chain. There's no other retail comparison going on. And they've got great PR as well. They had some PR the other day which said they can't take any more customers. They're so successful, you know. So if you look at the whole package, they're a very, very good example of a lot of good practice. And so whereas and they're a new organization, so they've benefited from the fact they can start up now when the world is as it is. And somebody once said that, you know, organizations kind of adapt, they kind of are, they reflect the century their industry began in. Okay, so starting today, you've got more choices. So when you look at one of my other recent blogs was, I think, Saving the Church of England. You know, it's a very old organization. It has all sorts of political overtones as well. And its challenge in order to evolve and adapt rather than just continue declining, which is what it's been doing for the last 10 years, is different. So what I try and do is get these organizations and say, look, just have a look at this a bit more clearly. Here are some things. And I have many hundred blogs about many hundred different businesses there. And people have been very kind and said they've found them very useful. And one of the things I find, one of my tenets, I suppose, is actually, if you want to be more successful, you need to learn from other people. And it's very interesting because I can see who opens my blog. And the most successful people I know read it regularly. And I think that's one thing I've learned is that people who are very successful are often open-minded enough to take advice or to talk to other people and to think about things differently. And as people's businesses evolves, you need to go through certain transitions and you need to adapt. And one of those is to just be able to just kind of adapt and evolve your role. So I say, really, I'm in the business of business evolution. I help businesses and their owners to evolve because those owners have to go through certain transitions, and they're often similar sort of transitions. And it's the ability of owners of businesses to adapt and change, which is often the limiting factor in how successful they can be.
Absolutely. One of my favorite sayings is Charles Darwin, when he explained what he meant by survival of the fittest. And he said it isn't about who is the smartest or who is the strongest, it's about who can adapt to change the best. And it's absolutely true. I'm a big believer in disruptive technology. That's the thing that turns me on and gets me up every day. And I end up speaking to so many people locked in old industries from the century. I love your analogy of that, the century they were founded. And they just cannot let go of how they used to do it.
And what I find is, and you know, one of the things you need to do more than anything if you're running a successful business and you want to continue it to be successful, is to react. You need to react when stuff changes. But the problem is, people aren't always sure what to do, so they tend to get stuck, you know, and it's not the case that everybody out there has got a growing business. In fact, most businesses are stuck, and they're not really sure what to do. They don't have the confidence to know what to do to move their business on, and that's what I do. I help to give them confidence, and I've done this for many years now, so I've got a very clear process for doing that.
Right.
And the process is similar at different stages of evolution, and it just helps people to guide them through that. In fact, maybe I could mention one of my books. I've written several of my books. My latest one, which was an Amazon bestseller, is called Build Your Ultimate Business in 100 Days. Just look up Mark Ballett, B-A-L-L-E-T-T. And what it has four workbooks in it, actually, for businesses at different stages of evolution. So, and it just takes you over 100 days, and it kind of tells you what to do in order to, what I believe, follow best practice. And that's not just about the choices you make, but it's how you manage your business and how you react to change. And one of the things that people don't do is react. You know, things change, things aren't going so well, so rather than react because they're not really sure how to do it, they tend to just keep on trying and hoping it will work out and bashing their head against the wall, or else getting despondent and thinking it's all them and taking it personally, when in fact actually reacting quickly is what you need to do. And if you need, and sometimes I would say almost always people benefit from collaboration with other people in order to help them to see more clearly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some friends and I were discussing this the other day about a local organisation here based in Kent that are very well known, very large, very well established. And they are so anti-collaboration, it's unbelievable. And you just think, you know, have you not realised that it's the 21st century now, that collaboration is everything? As some people know out there, I run a community workspace in Canterbury, and that's all about collaboration. It's all about people forming alliances, doing things together, collaborating and doing stuff.
But it's hard to do, I think, particularly if you're kind of like a small entrepreneur, because one of the evolutions you have to go through, in my mind, as businesses grow, is you have to evolve from being an entrepreneur to being more of a manager, which, you know, has got bad connotations, but you need to be able to delegate, to understand your role, to recruit people not like yourself, and evolve. And that's a very, very hard thing for people to do. But, you know, you need to react, you need to collaborate, you need to iterate, you need to try stuff, you know, and particularly the newer your business is, the more you have to do that.
Mark, what do you mean by recruit people not like yourself?
Well, it's very, I mean, I'll just give you an example. One of my clients, a very successful business in, I can't really say what it is, but it's a very successful, it's a technology business. And the guy who started it was a great salesman. And he struggled with evolving out of that and becoming the MD, which wasn't really what he wanted to do. So he thought he'd go out and try and recruit a salesman. And he's had great difficulty because everybody he sees is rubbish, according to him. They're not as good as him. And I have persuaded him now that actually you don't want somebody like you. That's the last thing you want. You want somebody who can help you build a team, which is collaborative and, you know, is complementary. And you need, and I've helped him to see that his role needs to evolve in a slightly different way. But it's very tempting. He finds it very hard. Has found it very hard, you know, to not be able to recruit somebody for that reason.
Absolutely.
So have you left him still being a salesman, or has he now got a sales team and he's on doing other stuff?
Well, what happens, what I find, is that often businesses get to a stage where they need to evolve, or they need to fill some gaps, or they haven't got a complete team of people to help them to do this. And actually, sometimes you need someone to come in and fill a bit of a gap. And actually, what I do often, because I've actually run lots and lots of businesses in different industries, I end up sort of filling a leadership void. So I very often go in, I always start by doing business reviews. I do business reviews all the time and help people see where they are and what they get. But I often, people then say, well, can you help me? And how I often help is by being a leader in a team. So I'm quite often almost like the chairman or management director, even if I'm not in that role, even though I only go in once a week or something, or once a month, and I just guide it. So sometimes people aren't able to themselves change their role too dramatically, but the successful ones are at least able to realize they need someone in that role. So I kind of step in and do and fill that. So being aware, I think I would say, it sounds a bit philosophical, but awareness is actually at the heart of most success in life, be it personal or business. You need to be aware of where your scope is. And I wrote a book once called The Five Secrets of Business Success. And awareness of what you don't know is my first secret. Being really aware of the things you don't know, because then you know you have to go out. And then if you look at some of the great, you know, businessmen, you know, of our lifetime, they realized that pretty early on, and they've surrounded themselves with people. I mean, Richard Branson's a good, great example in point. He's good at certain stuff. and he got a few breaks early on, and he got people in pretty quickly to help him run his businesses, because he knew there were gaps and he knew he would stick to his knitting, if you like. So
yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. Funnily enough, I made a TV program for a thing called the Inspiration Lounge a few weeks ago. And it was I was talking about one of my themes, which is a thing, Ready, Fire, Aim. And basically, somebody asked me, what's the single biggest skill? And I said acuity. And acuity is that awareness of everything that's going on around you. And so many people get locked into a rut, a channel, the knowledge of their industry or whatever, that they don't see a bigger picture. No, that's absolutely true, Mark. Absolutely true. From your point of view... You've talked a bit about best practice and stuff like that, and intimated that there are some templates that can be followed to be successful. Can you give our listener a couple of pointers in terms of the meta things that any business should be doing?
Well, I'll segue a little bit into another book I wrote once. I've got a little card in front of me from that book. I wrote a book once called The Five Secrets of Business Success. And it sounds pretty corny title, doesn't it? But I kind of like it because they are sort of secret. When I say them to you, you'll think, oh, well, that's obvious, I know that. But actually, people don't do this. And if you do this, it'll make a huge difference to your business. And all my previous comments about collaboration apply there. So the first one is know what you don't know. So be aware of the limit of your knowledge, because you need to get help from other people. And people often jump into the unknown because they assume that they know stuff. In fact, I meet people all the time and say, Mark, I'm fed up with this business. Yes, I might have been successful at it, but I'm going to go and build. It's often houses. And I say, what the hell do you know about houses? It must be easy. Well, it sounds easy to you because you know nothing about it. You wait till you start, you know? Yeah. So that's one. The other thing is something particularly acute, I think, in small businesses, is there's not enough attention paid to being different. And my little second secret is to stay different. So the first challenge is get different in the first place, and people aren't aware, I think, of some of the things which are very common in consumer marketing, particularly positioning, that allows anybody to be different. And my little example I like to give is where I used to live, there was a guy who was a plumber. He used to be an insurance manager, actually, but then he retrained as a plumber. He retrained in his 50s as a plumber.
He did I could do that.
He did that. Excess.
And he did a three-month course, and this man had more work than anybody else in the town I lived in,
really?
People who had been plumbers for 30 years, because he was a dapper guy, had a little blazer, and he used to be very smart, and he somehow, he didn't even think this up himself, he sometimes became known as the gentleman plumber. Now, there was a big segment of people in St. Albans, women, older people, who wanted a gentleman plumber. They didn't want other plumbers. And he did extremely well. So he was positioned very well. So some of the things, and particularly marketing strategy issues, which are some things people don't really understand, are very important in getting different and staying different in the first place. So my third secret is just to make sure the worst doesn't happen, you know. So don't take, well, it's very easy for small steps to seem, you know, for big steps with huge consequences to seem very simple, and people take a little step, they think, and they end up being a disaster. So have to be very careful about taking small steps forward. And if you're going back to my first point, you're not sure about this territory, you haven't been there before, you really need some help, and to collaborate with somebody who has and can guide you, often just in terms of risk mitigation and management. My fourth secret is, hey, you get a bit of success, that's great, you can get some of these things, and you see opportunities to grow. You soon get to a stage where you can apply leverage to your business, right? Which is, you know, and most of us are familiar with the idea of financial leverage from mortgages. You know, you borrow some money and you pay a bit of interest, and you get as it grows in value, you get the return on the whole thing. But you can apply leverage by hiring someone like me, for instance, leveraging somebody's knowledge base. You can apply leverage by hiring staff and leveraging their time. All those leverages are extremely important, and they're essential steps you have to go through if you want to grow your business, but they all come with immense risks. You know, and particularly when you start getting into, even just recruiting staff is hard enough, but certainly when you start thinking about leveraging your balance sheet financially. But there's also a window of opportunity. You need to do it at the right time. You just pick your moments, because again, I've seen people who've got it horribly wrong. So, and then my fifth secret is really about alignment. And most businesses, particularly the bigger they get, are horribly unaligned, and it's a leadership thing, really, which is people easily get out of alignment. I've been in some bigger businesses where people are going out selling stuff the business doesn't make anymore, I go in and people say, I'm going to sack the sales director, and I say, why are you going to do that? And they say, because he's rubbish, and he's not often rubbish. It's just the proposition they once had doesn't work anymore.
Yep, sure.
And they haven't aligned it and they haven't brought it up to date. So those are my kind of five sort of overview points, I would say.
Cool. Mark, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a subject that we could go into in more and more depth. So I think what we're going to do is invite Mark back at another time and continue to explore some of these things. For a moment, Mark, give us a shout out for a couple of the titles of your books, your website, your blog, and your Twitter handle.
Thank you very much. At Mark Ballot. Now, my name is spelled B-A-L-L-E-T-T. So at Mark Ballot's my Twitter. And very easy, because my website is markballot.com and all my blogs are on there and you can sign up for them there and it'd be lovely to see. And if you go to Amazon and just put my name in Mark Ballot, you'll find my books. And if you really are at a stage where you think that your business needs to move on, whether you've been training for 20 years or whether you just get started, or you want a bit of guidance and help, for a very modest price, Build Your Ultimate Business in 100 Days has workbooks in there. All you have to do is follow it. And it, at the very least, will give you a feeling as to if you're on the right track or if there are other ways or you can see your business or other things you can do to help it move forward.
Fantastic. So just for a few quid, you can become totally successful. Just read Mark's book. Have a look at it.
Great.
Good. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Some fabulous, fabulous business insights and sense there. Thank you so much. Good stuff.
Excellent. I feel like taking him straight round, get Billy Dean out of the cupboard and get Mark round there to ship me into shape, so to speak.
Something like that, yeah. I'm glad you said that and not me. We've had a tweet from F Keys.
Have we?
Yeah. F Keys, Microsoft Excel half-day taster session, Friday the 29th of August in Canterbury, a measly £45 plus VAT. Please call 01227 491227, as places are limited, or you can follow F Keys on the Twitter. That's F Keys, K-E-Y-S, the Microsoft trainers based in Medway and Canterbury.
He's a darling, isn't he? And he's also you know, I mentioned the Whitstable tweet up this Thursday. On the last Thursday of the month, he will be at Lenley's on the Twitter, at Lenley's in Roper Road, Canterbury, and he'll be giving a sort of 10-15 minute presentation on what he does and what he can offer with his Microsoft Word training.
Cool.
Lenley's, you'll know them, Roper Road.
Roper Road. Is Dennis still there?
Dennis, head of beds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Free parking.
Dennis Brophy.
Yeah. Dennis, head of beds.
Is he? So are they still flogging the Vice Springs?
Oh, they are. But they've got all sorts of tempura and all sorts. And a nice little restaurant. Right. Now, BeFast Friends is saying on the Twitter, loving the show, Vanilla Web, Jules Sirkin. And a big hello to Mark Ballot. Must be one of your fans.
Hello there. Yes.
Yes, one of your fans. And Nurse Liz J is still listening. She's probably on her eighth cup. And she says in her New Jersey accent, great guest. You two work together as co-hosts because of your differences and listening skills.
She lives in Ramsey Street.
Yeah, I can't do New Jersey. I must
listen to it. Well, just don't, you know, I mean,
I have to have a go.
Yeah, but that's Australian.
I know. The trouble with you is you don't have a go.
No, because I'm not silly. I know I can't do it in the first place. I can do Australian like you, but we haven't. So far, nobody from Australia has bothered to tweet so that we could do their accent. Although we did have Brent.
Yeah,
McNaughton, but Brant's from New Zealand.
Yeah, that's fish and chips. That's completely different, much more clipped.
Exactly. Anyway, I've had an email from Juggle Time.
Have you?
It says, hi, Paul. We're a new business and we're called Juggle Time. I cater for all sorts of events, from birthdays and family events to school fun days and corporate fun days. I'm based in Broadstairs but can travel anywhere around Kent. I teach juggling, Diablo, spinning plates and much, much more.
Do you know, I've been spinning plates for years.
Yeah, I know you have. My website is juggle-time.com. We have an extensive list of info about who I am, what I do, and the training. And that's from Jack Elliard of juggle-time.com. Juggle-time.com. So do check that out. It sounds like a lot of fun. And I've also had a tweet stroke email from Justin Dean of Creative Motion. He says, hi, Paul and Jules. Loving the show, as always. Just a quick update for you and the listener. Creative Motion has moved address, woohoo, and is now at the fabulous Maidstone TV studios at Vinters Park. And that's from Justin Dean, creative director at Creative Motion. So thank you for that, Justin.
And fabulous. I love his videos. Yeah. He did the Josie Maguire's one.
He did Tales from Turkey, yeah.
Tales from Turkey and all sorts of donkey cheese
related
tales.
Things.
The FSB, the Federation of Small Business Events, is on the 10th of September in the North Kent Business Clinic. There is a Network Plus guest speaker, and that's at 5:15 at Dickens World in Leviathan Way. How do I say Leviathan Way? I've no
Leviathan.
Idea.
Leviathan is the word. Leviathan. Leviathan. It means big.
It sounds very Roman, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is it a straight road?
Just get on with it.
Okay.
Leviathan. Leviathan is the word.
It's that way, and it's M.
She's from Essex.
I'm going to give you the code now to get this sat nav. M for mother, E for Ethel, 4-4, L for lion, L for lion.
Is that a phonetic alphabet of your own making?
Yeah.
I think Mark wants a word with
Come
you.
Come on, Mark.
Hey, just one thing. Can I just plug something?
Do it in New Jersey.
I wish I could. I'm the leader of the Wadhurst and District Business Association, and we have a thing called a Marketing Hub, which we run. And it's we run it once a month, and we have the next session coming up on the 2nd of September, 6:30 till 8 o'clock in Wadhurst about improving your marketing. We have a marketing panel, any question, any subject. Online, print, whatever, and the Marketing Hub events. You can find more about them at wadhurstbusiness.co.uk. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you for that, Mark.
It does it so beautifully.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a tweet from John Austin Brooks of Sales Help VR, who says it's a rare opportunity to be listening live to the Business Bunker with Jules and Paul, and fascinated by Mr. Mark Ballack.
I think we all are fascinated.
Absolutely. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to have a bit more tunage. And then we're going to speak to our next guest.
Oh, I'd love a glass of wine.
I knew you'd like this.
Yeah, keep pouring.
Yeah.
UB40.
So sad, anytime I see you go, it make me feel bad. Red, red wine, you make me feel so fine. Monkey packing music on the sweet hip line. Red, red wine, you give me Wally Pazing. Wally Pazing, make me do my own thing. Red, red wine, you really know how to love. You're kind of loving.
like a blessing from above. Red, red wine, I love you right from the start. Right from the start, with all of my heart. Red, red wine in a 80s style. Red, red wine in a modern beat style. Yeah. Till I die, and that's no lie. Red, red wine can get you on my mind. Wherever you may be, I'll surely find. I'll surely find. Make no fuss, just a difference.
Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay, and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531-777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Kent Business Radio Show, Kent Business Bunker, on Tuesday, the 19th of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. Bit of UB40 there, red, red wine.
It was a bit funky at the end, wasn't it, that?
It was.
Just showing you how young you are.
Yeah, exactly.
How old will you be on Friday?
No, I'm not going there.
You're going to be a little bit older, aren't you?
I'm going to be a year older than I was last year. That tends to be the format.
Let's be honest, you were a little bit dobbing about it last year, weren't you?
Yeah. Do you really want to know?
No, not really. You're just quite old.
59.
59? Okay. A lot of bumps.
Yeah, it is.
To have.
Yeah. Mind you, you need a big crowd to actually do the deed anyway.
And Sally for Kate's going to have to make a huge cake.
It's going to be big, Sal. Sal, it's going to be the biggest cake you've ever made, sweetie. Yeah.
What's your favourite flavour? Licorice cake.
Yeah, licorice cake.
Probably.
Yeah.
I forgot to say, with the because you were heckling me about Leviathan Way.
Leviathan.
There is a fab website which is www.f for Freddy, S for Sugar. B
What's it called? Pronouncements for Dummies.
F for Freddy, S for Sugar, B for Bertie. org.uk, and you can go onto that and find out all of the events that will be on there.
Cool. Thank you.
Paul Andrews.
Yeah. Do you know, I think we'll talk to our next guest now.
I think so.
Because I'm bored of talking to you.
I know. I could tell.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show our next guests for today, the lovely Nina Cooper and Mark Durden of Beyond Local. Hi, guys.
Hello.
It's lovely. Of course they did that.
Very chirpy.
they did that together.
It's descant.
Yeah.
We are totally in unison.
The harmony.
We speak as one.
Yeah, I love
the
that.
The harmonies were divine, weren't they?
Oh, I really
just
like
just like
that.
Having the Beach Boys in the studio, really.
It was, actually, yeah.
Yeah, we looked round. We thought it was either Simon and Garfunkel or the Beach Boys.
Or the Bee Gees, even.
Could have been.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Guys,
there's three of them, isn't there? Bee Gees?
Yeah, there is.
Well, there was.
There's not many of them left.
And the teeth.
Yeah, there's only Barry the Teeth left. Anyway, enough of that. We don't want to talk about them. We want to talk to Nina and Mark of Beyond Local. Hi, guys.
Hello again.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We met at Westrum, didn't we, at a business breakfast a few weeks ago.
Yeah, briefly, yes.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Listen to what you had to say.
And I was fascinated by what you're doing. You're a digital agency, but you're very keen on digital apprenticeships as well.
Yeah, it comes from experience we had in our previous life working for a company called Learning Assistant, who were bought out by City and Guilds, and understandably City and Guilds were very keen on apprentices, so we had the opportunity to employ some apprentices and teach them how to become software developers.
Right.
And it was a real eye-opener for Nina and myself, and basically, we saw what a great opportunity it was for them, and also there was a real sense of freshness that they brought to our perspective as well, or the perspective they had changed how we thought about things.
Absolutely. It's one of my little ranty things that I rant about quite a lot, is that 50 years into the IT revolution, in the United Kingdom, we still don't bother to teach it in schools, and I just cannot believe it. I was at a meeting in the US a couple of years ago, and a couple of the guys from Google, when they found out that we don't teach IT in school over here, they were just absolutely stunned. And they said, that's ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And it is still to this day ridiculous, I'm afraid.
Well, one of the reasons for the genesis of, or the, you know, the beginning of Beyond Local was the frustration that I had trying to recruit UK developers. We had to take on developers from all over the world. We had Indians, Bulgarians, Romanians.
Yeah.
Spaniards, literally it was the United Nations at times, and you know, they were all great, really, really good developers, but we could not find English or
unicorn poo.
It was ridiculous. So again, that was part of you have to stop complaining at some point and think
and take action.
You've got to do something. You can't leave it up to anybody else.
Absolutely. No, and you're absolutely right. And all power to you. Tell us a little bit about how you organise this, what you do, because you're a small business, so obviously you can't hire hundreds and hundreds of apprentices every year.
No. So, you know, we have a long-term plan, but we're still sort of figuring out how to get there. So, you know, that sense of iteration that Mark was talking about, we're very much into that. We're sort of iterating every day almost, it feels like, and we have a lot more learning to do. But we started with one apprentice, and he's flying, so it's great. Within 5 or 6 weeks of him starting his apprenticeship, he built our website for us.
Yep.
You know, a fully responsive, very nice-looking website. And you know, 6 weeks before, he'd never written any HTML code. You know, he'd done some drag-and-drop template work, but nothing hand-coded. So he's ready, I think, now to sort of almost manage more of his own work under our sort of quality control, and we want to now bring on another apprentice. As soon as they're ready to go, we'll then hopefully, if the volume of work drives it, we'll get another. And then in time, we want to start take apprentices and make them team leaders and teach other apprentices and set up other cells around the area. So, you know, you can have different teams in different places that are almost self-contained, all working together, so it becomes, it's not quite a franchise model, but you know, that sort of, it's almost like an early Christian church model, you know, where St. Paul went round and dropped disciples in little areas and said, you build the church here, so that's what we'd like to do over time.
Absolutely. It's amazing, isn't it? A couple of years ago, I did something similar in one of my businesses, and I needed persuading. At a time, somebody said to me, you know, why don't you take a trainee? Why don't you take an apprentice? I have hired people straight from school and straight from university before, but they said, why don't you take an apprentice? And I'm like, oh, I don't want any of that. You know, the trouble is nowadays, you know, kids don't have the right attitude. They haven't got a work ethic. Anyway, somebody badgered me into doing it. And I hired this young lad who came in and, you know, we were thinking, right, there's the teapot. There's the cups, you know, normal stuff. There's a broom. Don't get in the way. Don't ask stupid questions. Keep your nose clean. And after a day in my office, he came to me and he said, you haven't got an app for what you do. And I went, no. He said, well, I'm working on it now, if that's all right. Really?
Wow.
And at the end of the week, we had an Android app and we still got it and it still works. And now he also developed an iPhone app and a BlackBerry app. and you think, blimey, who's teaching who here?
Exactly.
That's exactly our experience.
Yeah, yeah. Because the youngsters, this is what they're interested in. This is their world. This is what they like. You know, and I can blather on about schools forever, but, you know, a lot of people aren't engaged at school. And funny enough, I just hired a young lad, 17, who had done his A-levels, didn't know whether to go to university or not, and I said, well, you can come and work for me. And he just said, yeah, I'll do that. And he's brilliant. He's not only is he a developer, but he's also a graphic designer at the same time, you know. And again, you just think, wow, this is unbelievable, because if you actually went out looking for this, and as you said, trying to find it, and I own one of the biggest recruitment websites, and we can't find people, you know, so you're absolutely right.
No, well, what you were saying on your show last week about it, there's not an unemployment problem, it's a skills problem.
Yeah.
And there's so much demand for better websites, better apps, and it, you know, in a couple of years it'll be apps that businesses need.
Yeah.
But you know, that we can't fulfil, and it's not hard to do. That's the annoying thing. It's not rocket science. It's fairly simple.
Yeah.
And you know, if we're going to, you know, and coming back to your point earlier about having local businesses surviving, and so you have local communities with an identity, so it doesn't all look like blue water, you know, and there is a reason to go there. So that's why, you know, we love Westrum so much, because it still has that sense of community.
Yeah.
So we want to help provide local businesses there with a service that, you know, demystifies the internet almost.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it isn't hard. You just have to get the basic information for your business, and then you can actually start to make business decisions to the benefit of your company.
Mm.
You know, using Google Analytics. And
the thing is, in my experience, is that IT isn't taught very well in schools.
No.
My youngest went to a fab grammar school, and I thought he was going to know it all, but actually I sort of knew more than he did. It's not taught in schools.
No, we don't teach it. I mean, the present government have announced that they're going to teach IT, but there's a little bit of a problem with that, is they don't have any qualified teachers and they don't have a syllabus. But apart from that, brilliant.
Wow. And I think that's a huge problem in that the age that the teachers will be that are coming in to teach in those schools are not digital natives.
Yeah.
So they're actually teaching people that know more than they do and have an intuitive relationship to those things.
I don't want to make this about me, because it's about you and what you guys are doing, but I'm involved with the University of Kent. And interestingly, I'm on the panel of the School of Digital Engineering and Arts, which is a new school that the university developed because of exactly this issue. Mm. What they did, we've just awarded, coming up to our second set of degrees being awarded, so it's 6 years now. What they did there was say, you know, there's a whole field here of new digital engagement. So in the School of Digital Engineering and Arts, they work on things like web design, graphic design, motion graphics, animation. That's the word. You see, you knew. Animation, all those kind of things. But the interesting thing, as a panel of business owners involved in the digital field, we meet every quarter to discuss teaching the next phase, because the digital world moves far quicker than education has ever done. Mm. And when they first started the school, they had a syllabus that said, in the first instance, we're going to teach Adobe. And we all went, really? What are you going to do that for? And they went, well, because it's the flavour of the month. Yeah, but it's now Ruby on Rails. That's, you know, that's months old.
Yeah.
Adobe, we're now...
It's a completely different style of learning. You actually, you can track it.
No, you can't.
And the beauty, the thing that I love in terms of education, is that if you want to go out and learn something, you can do it from your home, from your office, for free, and you can study.
Yeah.
At some of the best institutions across the world.
Absolutely.
The MOOCs, massive open online courses that are now available for people. If you want to upskill, teach yourself, learn from the ground up, the opportunities are there for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. But for me, one of the great ways of learning is exactly what you guys are doing, which is apprenticeships and learning on the job.
Yeah.
You know, that is, with that kind of thing, there is no other way of doing it, really.
Well, we've seen Daryl's confidence grow enormously. And since April, he's been with us.
Right.
And in terms of just how he feels about the work that he's doing, and he knows he's fully involved in the team. He's an integral part of Beyond Local.
Right.
So there's a real sense of value around what he's doing, and there's nothing more powerful than applying learning to real life stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, as you're going.
Yeah.
As you're going. And, you know, it's constantly evolving. Mark and I are learning all the time, not just in terms of running a business. I mean, that's the biggest learning curve, but in terms of the work that we do, if we don't keep upskilling and being aware of what other people are doing,
The pace of change in everything is fast now. In the digital world, it's even faster, but everything's moving at a much more rapid pace than it ever did before.
Yeah,
I personally, even though I'm old, I actually find that exciting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, exactly what you were saying earlier, Mark, in terms of a sense of iteration.
Yeah.
That on two levels, that made me think it was like, in terms of a business, we need to constantly be iterating. But in terms of digital stuff, it's a constant iteration. And if you don't do that, if you don't have a notion of failing faster, learning, realizing that it is actually okay to get things wrong and to try again and try again and try again, it's a key part of what we're doing.
And I think this creates an opportunity for us as a business as well. You know, I think, you know, it's about education. So even, you know, the business owners who are, there's this fear of IT in this country, it seems. You know, everybody's a bit, you know, a lot of small businesses we talk to is, you know, I have a website and it's there and I don't really know what it does. And it does, so you don't have digital at the heart of your business, and there's this massive digital economy out there that people are missing out on. And, you know, it's a day-to-day struggle often in business to stay in business. And you're just ignoring this huge revenue stream. So the opportunity for us is to say, look, don't be scared of it. You know, talk to us and we'll, you know, help demystify what it is, and we'll tell you where your customers are coming from and how they are using you, and does your website work on an iPhone or an Android phone, because those are the simple things that you can do. And it's
absolutely,
you know, just having, you know, things like having big buttons. So if you're, you know, you look at a website on your phone, you sometimes you have to go and pinch and squeeze and stretch to actually read the text. You know, this is criminal. Would you have a shop window that was sort of in darkness that people had to turn up with a torch to sort of see what your goods were? No, I mean, it's crazy, but it's an equivalent of what you're doing with your website.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's almost a line of code to make that not happen.
It is odd, isn't it? People don't always see the benefits of things. And a lot of it's like, there's so many people we speak to, because Jules and I are both fanatical about social media, because everything we build is built clustered around social media. But I mean, it's a free marketing platform. What's not to like? But you speak to so many people and they go, oh, no, I haven't got time for that.
Or what, they don't even know what their Twitter handle is.
No. And you go, what do you mean you haven't got time? You haven't got time for customers. You haven't got time to build your business. What are you doing then? Mm. And they go, oh, I'm far too busy. Really? And it's fear. It is fear.
Exactly,
they
fear.
Don't know, and they're going to go, do you know what? I'm going to ignore that because I don't understand it.
Well, it's because they're busy enough anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're busy running their business. Yeah. And it's I do the same thing. You know, I know, there's certain things I know about and there's certain things I don't know about. And I know I've got to go and learn those things I don't know about. But actually, I'm quite comfortable over here doing the things I do know about, and I know I can make a difference, so I'll go and do that, and that'll stay on my list of 10 things to do, and then it'll get carried on to next week as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's often what happens with businesses. And certainly, running a business is an eye-opener on many levels.
Well, it's time-consuming.
Yeah.
It's all time-consuming. You know, nowadays, when you run a business, you've got to do everything, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like the old days where you just wrapped up and went home for lunch.
But even that, you see, I mean, it's to me, it's a frame of mind. I mean, I've many years ago I had a proper job and I worked in a corporate environment, and I just found that so stultifyingly boring. And I worked in a very dynamic place as well, but even that was quite boring, because everything's got to be done by committee, everything's about internal politics, everybody's about nobody being seen to be left holding the blame for anything that may or may not work. When you work in a small business, you don't have all those pigeonholes, you just do stuff.
No.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has to muck in, because you can't, you know, most small businesses can't afford a specialist HR manager and a specialist finance manager and a specialist this and specialist that.
It's funny,
you know,
and
the best we can do is hire someone like Mark to help us, which is a great thing to do. But we have to learn from that.
Yes.
Yeah, Mark.
And also, I was just going to say, and there's an opportunity again there for, with all the apprenticeships and the support that the government can give you for this.
Yeah.
You know, to actually get somebody in to manage your social media who's in that 18 to 24 age range, and they speak this language.
Yeah.
You know, they understand how to interact with social media.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you manage them obviously as a business owner, but let them go and do it
under
your supervision. Mm. And they're going to be talking the language of the sort of 16 to the 35 year olds who are active on social media. And if those aren't your customers now, they're soon going to be your customers.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, so you can grow that business, and it's a cheap way of training up staff and to, for you to get the benefit of it.
Mark wanted to just say something.
Just this is Mark Ballett.
Two comments. One thing I think that this question of how you make decisions about in the business. I do a lot of business reviews, and I find my latest blogs about this. I find that actually getting out with your team, who maybe you don't involve, or other people you collaborate with, to actually look a little bit more widely about this on some sort of regular basis makes a huge impact. Just standing away and actually looking at it. But one of the things that people get, and maybe it's part of this whole discussion, they get a bit confused about, is they don't really grasp marketing. So social media is a way of communicating with people, which is great. It's a new thing. It's a new way of doing that. But they often put too much effort into the process and the mechanics of it without thinking about what they're saying.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's lack of success, and I know a lot of people who've tried social media in various ways, and they've had their fingers burnt a bit. It's nothing to do with the effectiveness of social media as a communication. It's that actually their message wasn't very strong, or they didn't have much of a composition.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a confidence thing. So people need to have confidence. So they need to, as soon as they dip their toes into this, they need to get a little bit of positive feedback. Then they'll become more confident. I mean, the people who have do it. The people who don't are scared by it or ignorant of it. So it's quite difficult. And you know, it depends, you know, how old you are, what business you're in. It's very difficult to adapt sometimes, isn't it, to new things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's part of what we really enjoy when we work with new customers. We get them on when we do things like an e-newsletter, MailChimp.
Right.
And to sit with somebody and show them the stats on screen, how many times it's been opened, how many click-through there's been, the activity. It's great to see them suddenly going, I get it.
Isn't that wonderful? Because you also then get this spirit of competition that always kicks in. When you show that 14 people have opened their newsletter, immediately, because this is how human beings are, next month they desperately want it to be at least 15.
That's right. And it gives them a tool to tweak the message that they're putting out there, to test it and go, this month we got 38% people opening it. What was our message? Let's tweak it here. Next month it's 45. Obviously we've done something stronger there.
Yeah,
it's that informative thing, and it's what we enjoy, seeing people feel that they're in control without overloading them, giving them too much information, giving them just enough to go, I get it, I'm in control of this thing. My website is an organic thing. It's living, it's breathing. It's not just this thing that I've got, I've done, tick the box. It's something that is working for their business.
Yeah, absolutely. It's core for their business, really, or it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. So give us a little bit more detail about Beyond Local yourselves. So you've talked a lot about your digital apprenticeship scheme and the fact that you're trying to encourage people into the workplace and to learn and grow in digital, which is fabulous and brilliant, and we laud that. But tell us a bit about Beyond Local itself. What's your key markets? Where are you targeted? What are you doing?
Okay.
How do you do it?
Well, our key market, I think, is the SME market. Mm. The use of apprentices helps to keep our cost base reasonably low. So we can, given our background in sort of the big corporate world, you know, and that sort of level of quality control that and stringency that we had to, we're trying to bring those London digital agency approaches to a small business market and give them the same level of quality, but at a more realistic budget, I guess. And for us, that is realised in terms of having just websites that are kept relatively simple, on message, it's very clear what you're trying to do. They work across all devices, so they're responsive. You know, they work equally well on a desktop or on a mobile phone or on a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And providing then sort of almost consultative advice in terms of, well, your traffic is here and this is how we can help build your traffic. We can start to look at the stats of where people are coming from and giving them an idea of where their customers are online.
Mm.
We can help work with them around social media and building a social media message to help drive people to that website. As Nina's talked about, the email marketing side of things. And, you know, if people required it, an app ultimately to help again drive that business back to their sort of core business. And just try and demystify the whole thing for, you know, local business owners, you know, to try and so they can make sense of it and actually start to make positive decisions where they feel in control of what's happening digitally, rather than just being passively, you know, it being a passive channel for them. They can actually use it positively.
Absolutely. Well, you're certainly sparking some interest, because we've got something like 142 tweets so far joining in with this conversation.
Great.
And we're not going to have time to read them all. So most of them have copied you into it. So when you get back and start looking at your Twitter, you'll find a few of them. All of them are kind of agreeing in general with what you're saying, and then a few are having a moan about people that are not adapting to different types of technologies. But everybody's kind of singing from the same hymn sheet, which is interesting. And as I say, there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing on Twitter about the things that you're saying as you're saying them. Sadly, we're running out of time and I've got time to cover them all, but do catch up with them in a minute. Guys, look, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Again, it's an area we can talk about more and more and more.
No, and thank you to Mark as well, because it was a really fascinating talk, and we're going to read your book, and because we realise there's a lot that we don't know and that we have to learn still. I mean, we don't know how to sell anything, so we've got to learn how to market ourselves and sell properly.
But I love what you're doing, and what you're already finding is there is a big collaborative community in Kent. Once you get plugged into that, it's amazing how it suddenly starts to take off. And there's a lot going on in Kent, and loads of things happening all over the county, even though Kent has a fairly different kind of philosophy in different parts of Kent, kind of different issues, different demographics. But you know, the business community, there's 68,000 small businesses in Kent, and the collaboration is huge. For the moment, Nina and Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, and all power to what you're doing, and keep on keeping on. Thank you so much. I've got a couple of urgent emails I want to read out.
Just before we go, just to say that the website there for Mark is Nina, 3ws.beyondlocal.co.uk.
Yeah, and you can also follow them on the Twitter, which I think is beyondlocal_.
That's right. It's all linked to from the website.
And you can see it on our timeline as well.
And we've also got links to them on the Kent Business Radio website. The Institute of Directors. You're invited to join us for a drink after work and a seaside safari with Thanet's Rock Dock. A member price is £10, non-member price is £17. Sponsored by geologist and naturalist Alistair Bruce. He's our guy for this unique tour of Botany Bay. It's Botany Bay near Broadstairs.
Is that your pirate accent?
Exactly. You will never look at the coastline in the same way again.
I know.
After our walk, we will adjourn to a local hotel for a well-earned drink and
will
some nibbles.
Will it be a hostelry?
It will indeed. Promoting business in Kent is high on our agenda, so why not forward this invitation on to your colleagues and clients? Please wear casual clothing and stout shoes, as the terrain can be rocky in places.
Sounds very dramatic.
Yeah. And children are welcome, and you can find out all about that by going to the IOD website. IOD.
I'd like to see you in a pair of stout shoes.
I bet you would.
Instead of those winkle pickers you
wear. We have mentioned this a couple of times, but the time is fast approaching. There's a couple of things happening. Hello, Paul. I'm contacting you on behalf of the Day of Sin Committee in regards to the 50th anniversary of the Day of Sin.
Is that S-Y-N?
S-Y-N, a biannual event held in Dimchurch celebrating Kent's fictional 18th century smuggler, made famous by author and actor Russell Thorndike, who was a native of the Romney Marsh area. This year's festival, which takes place over the coming August Bank Holiday weekend, that's this weekend coming, is the 50th anniversary. I'm hoping that you may be interested in this event as a local interest program feature, which could help us raise profits on this not-for-profit day for special causes. So do find out about that. There is a website that goes with it, which is Day of Sin. And as Jill says, sin is spelled S-Y-N. Day of Sin, all one word, .co.uk. And do have a look at that. And the whole event is taking place on the Romney Marsh over the bank holiday weekend. There's also, I would be very grateful if you could publicise a charity event at the Lyd Golf Club and Driving Range, and we are holding this in aid of the Pilgrims Hospice. It is taking place on the 28th of August from 8:30 in the morning. It costs a measly £25. And if you need more information, You can email gary@lidgolfclub.co.uk or you can phone him on 01797 320 808, or email's probably the easiest, gary@lidgolfclub.co.uk. And they're also holding a foot golf taster day.
What's a foot golf?
It's where you play golf with your feet. You kick a football-sized football into a football-sized golf hole 18 times. But go on the taster day to find out about it, and that's on Saturday the 16th of August. That was last Saturday, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah,
so that's too late. You missed it. It was last week. Never mind.
You obviously planned this show.
Yeah, no. There was a double email.
There's a Kent Independent Traders Award. The nomination has closed. It was on the 15th. But you can still get involved by looking at the www.kentindependenttraders.co.uk website. There are support and sponsorship packages that are available starting from £300 and include great promotional opportunities for your business. And you can email hello@kentindependenttraders.co.uk. And the awards ceremony is taking place on Thursday the 25th of September at Bearstead Golf Club near Maidstone. And you'll have an evening celebrating the success of independent businesses from all over Kent with a delicious sit-down two-course meal. That sounds fantastic, and we will put details of that on the Kent Business website as soon as the show is over.
Absolutely. We've had Peter Wood has tweeted.
With Edward?
Yeah, with Woodward. A special offer for Business Bunker listeners. 20% off any aerial photography of your site, house, business or your event. And that's during September and October. And you can find out more by following him, Peter Wood, on the Twitter. And his Twitter handle is 99, that's the digits, 99, Hawkeye, 99. So 99, Hawkeye, 99. Give him a follow.
I don't have an aerial anymore, so that's no good for me, is it?
You don't want a picture of your aerial?
No, not really. I haven't even got my satellite at Sky Off as well.
It's quite a big erection, an aerial.
It is. Yeah. Ooh, is it a stable erection?
It is.
Have a model day out. You're a model, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Headcorn Aerodrome, and it's this September, set in the heart of the Kent countryside, and they will host the Southern Model Show. And the airfield is always busy with parachuting, pleasure, balloon and helicopter flights, and the Lashenden Air Warfare Museum. That sounds very...
I used to work there.
Did you?
Yes, you in doing? The cafe.
Were you parachuting?
I was in the cafe.
What, serving tea and parachuting all in
yes,
one?
Yes, yes.
I say. over the Battle of Britain weekend, it's the 13th and 14th of September, and the best of remote control modelling world will descend on the airfield, creating a fun and friendly family event. For more info, I'm going to read out the phone number, so get your pen. It's 3w.headcornevents.co.uk 0845 652 6263, and that is the model day out at Headcorn, and it's the 13th and 14th of September.
Cool.
There's also a local manufacturing company which is opening its doors to say thank you to Thanet. It's a new event. And it's to be held in Kent on Saturday the 13th of September. And it's the Flambeau Open Day. Does that mean when they pour brandy and light it up with a little pancake? Including fairground rides, local stalls, games and a music stage and a food court and bar. And it's being staged by the local company Flambeau Europlast. And the firm is based in Manston Road, Ramsgate, employing 120 people. And it's a one-day fair, and it's giving something back, they say, to the community in Thanet, and it'll go to the local charity Thanet Families in Need. So you need to... we'll put details of this on the Kent Business website, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but it's the Saturday the 13th of September, Manston Road, Ramsgate, 10 till 5pm. And there's free on-site parking, just like Len is at Roper Road.
Cool. I've just had an email in about a generous donation to the World War II Memorial.
All right.
At the Combined Op Show, which is on Sunday, just gone, 17th of August, the co-organisers, Invicta Military Vehicle Preservation Society, raised and made a generous donation of £1,120 to the Hill 112 Tree Fund. Hill 112 is southwest of Caen and was a strategically important point during the Battle for Normandy, as whoever had control of it had control of a huge area around it. The Battle for the Hill started on the 9th of July 1944 and raged for 12 days and nights. There were 7,000 casualties. Albert Figg, a Normandy veteran who served with the 112th Field Regiment, has spent the last 28 years raising funds and installing a memorial to his regiment on the site. Many organisations, including IMPS, donated funds to purchase a Churchill tank, which was unveiled as a memorial on the 10th of July 1999. Now Albert is raising funds for the 112 poplar trees to be planted on the hill as an avenue of remembrance. You can find out all about this by going to their website, which is www.hill112.com. That's Hill and the numbers 112.com. So do please check that out.
The Best of Kent shows, East Kent B2B. There's a free conference and exhibition, and it's Wednesday the 11th of September at St Lawrence's Cricket Ground, Canterbury. You can hear one of the country's successful businessmen. Who is that? Oh, it's Doug Richard, the dynamic entrepreneur from Dragon's Den, and he's the keynote speaker. And as you may know, Doug specialises in inspiring entrepreneurs to achieve more, and he'll prove to you that entrepreneurs are made, not born. From choir boy to rock star to entrepreneur to speaker. We've got QJ as well, who's their second speaker, and he'll be he's worked along some of the largest names in show business, including performing alongside Nigel Kennedy. So that's Wednesday the 11th of September at St Lawrence's Cricket Ground.
Cool. So that was Doug Richards and QJ, huh?
Yeah, together. Cool.
QJ of this manor. QJ runs a business programme called BizHQ on Channel Radio on a Wednesday evening at 5 o'clock. Tune in and have a listen. It's fantastic. I've had some support at long last, after many years, on the Twitter from Peter, who said, Jules, you are just so rude. What poor Paul has to put up with. Peter, you're so right.
Who's Peter? Which Peter?
Yeah, Peter Wood. Perhaps I need to come on the show and explain what I really do. You were talking about his erection, which was annoying him.
Well, he says I'm rude to you.
Yeah. No, he's right, though, isn't he? You are rude to me.
I don't think so.
Kent Invicta Chamber have let us know about their annual networking summer barbecue, which is taking place from 12 until 2 p.m. on Thursday the 4th of September at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge in Canterbury. Located within a beautiful and inspirational environment in the grounds of Canterbury Cathedral, Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce shall be hosting a networking summer barbecue. Two-course barbecue with soft drink on arrival. No good for you then, Jules.
No.
Menu is
soft drink?
Yeah, soft drink.
I could take my own.
Yeah.
Top it up.
Homemade beef burger, sausages and vegetable kebabs served with a selection of chef salad, mixed fruit platter, tea and coffee.
That'll do me.
Chamber members £20, non-members £25. You can find out all about it by going to the kentinvictorchamber.co.uk website.
You can become a volunteer business mentor with the Kent Foundation. Revitalise your own creativity, stimulate your business acumen and support a young, inspiring and potential business person. Sorry, I'm erring. I haven't got my glasses.
Oh,
as part of the, it's really faint. As part of the West Kent Enterprise Initiative, we're on the lookout for business owners, experts and professionals to join our ever-growing team of business mentors. And our next day training course is on the 16th, which is a half day, and the 24th of September. Find out more. You can email mentoring@kentfoundation.org.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Twitter's still going bananas.
It is, yeah. Creative Motion has tweeted, hi, what's Hawkeye's Twitter handle again? Got some aerial filming in the pipeline.
Oh,
well, good stuff. I will tweet a link to it in a minute, Justin, but just so that you know, it's 99Hawkeye99. But I'll tweet the link to you in a minute.
It all links in nicely, doesn't it? Aerials parachuting with Nina making tea.
Absolutely.
And now pipelines.
Absolutely.
You can get work experience with a difference, and that's you'll find out more at the Business Community Breakfast. This is from Ken Wheeler. You need to go to www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk to find out more. But the BCB is held on the second Thursday of each month at Gillingham Golf Club between 7:15 and 9:30.
Cool, thank you for that. We're just about at the end of the show.
We are.
Have we mentioned the tweet up in Whitstable on Thursday?
Thursday, 10 a.m. At the Hotel Continental, kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk.
Thank you for that.
And don't forget, of course, Alex F. Keys, the last Thursday of the month.
At Lenny's.
Yep.
Well worth a listen to, young Alex from F. Keys, the Microsoft Office specialists. Hey, thank you. It's been great talking to you all out there in the business world again. I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to our studio guest, Mr. Mark Ballett of markballett.com.
He's an author as well.
Who's a business author, mentor, supporter, and all-round good bloke with a fabulous blog to read. A fantastic thank you to Nina Cooper and Mark Durden of Beyond Local, who are reinventing the world of digital employment and encouraging SMEs to engage digitally. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us on the Business
Bug
Show. All
done while parachuting as
absolutely, well. Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Staggered at the amount of talent we have in this county. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Thank you, the businesses of Kent, for listening in. Coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of today, at 3 o'clock, the Extra Milk Show with Mr. Kevin Cann. At 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery with his stripy socks. At 7 o'clock, beer, birds, bands and booze. The boys balls. Are down the pub again. Yeah. And not forgetting the boys.
Down the pub.
The boys, Phil and Jonathan, down the pub at 7 o'clock. And then Mr. Jamie Anderson.